You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
O'clock hour, presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. And, of course, DuPaco celebrating their 75th anniversary this year in 2023. Scott Unash, Mark Duke's going to join me here in just a moment. And Andrew with us on the other side of the glass here today. Is again, Isaac out today. He'll be back coming up later on next week. Great to have you with us here as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on the Gym Class on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio app as well here today. And, of course, thanks to the great folks at DuPaco. You can check them out online at DuPaco.com. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Lots to get to. Jeff Johnson's going to join us coming up, and we will talk about the Cedar Rapids Colonels season, talk a little high school baseball with you as well, and anything new as far as the local hockey scene is concerned. We'll kick that all around coming up here in just a little bit with JJ coming up in about a half an hour or so. 319-366-1600 is the text line that's available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour as the first round of the United States Open Golf Tournament going on at the Los Angeles Country Club. We will get to that coming up in just a moment. And Mark joins me here on the southwest side from his back porch here today. We're working on getting you on the regular method here, Mark, but we got you on Plan B right now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Perhaps it's the poor air quality. I don't know.
Maybe we're gonna go with that. You made Andrew's day, though, by the way. He's got a big smile on his face on the other side of the glass.
I'm sure our best people are on it, and we'll make do.
We will. We'll talk to Jeff Johnson, as I mentioned, coming up in just a little bit. Want to start off the show today, though, with a slightly unhappy note, if you will, before we get into golf. But a football passing today. Homer Jones, Mark. Do you remember the name Homer Jones?
Yeah, I do, vaguely.
Okay. Homer Jones passing away today. And if you do not know who that was, next time the National Football League, whatever, you know, it may be a regular season game, probably going to be a preseason game, the very first one. In fact, it could be the Hall of Fame game, which is, by the way, you want to know how close that quickly summer is going by here. The Hall of Fame game is about 6 weeks away in the National Football League. Just throwing that out there. But could see this happen in that game. After a touchdown, if you see a spike of the ball in the end zone, please think of Homer Jones for us. Because Homer Jones was the first National Football League player to come up with the spike, Mark. Did you know that?
I do now, and quickly Googling him, he played for the Giants. Wide receiver, right?
Correct.
Died at age 82. I have to admit, I was unaware.
Yeah, he's a... I think his claim to fame not only was that he came, he told the folks at ESPN back in 2015, the story behind it, that he scored a touchdown and was going to throw the ball into the stands in a celebratory mode. But at that time, and much like it is right now, you get fined for throwing the ball into the grandstands. So, and he said, we weren't making nearly as much money back then as the fellas are right now. And so with that in mind, he said, well, wait a minute. I'm just going to, instead throwing it into the stands, I'm going to throw it into the ground. And little did he know, he came up with the first spike in NFL history.
Branched out to many, many different celebratory moments in the end zone.
Yeah. He also scored one of the first touchdowns in Monday Night Football history in 1970. As most people know, the first Monday Night Football game was at the Cleveland Municipal Stadium on ABC, Cleveland and the New York Jets in 1970. And Homer Jones ran back the opening kickoff of the second half for a touchdown to help Cleveland beat Broadway Joe Namath and the New York Jets on that particular night. Did you know that?
Like I said, I was unaware of this guy for whatever reason. And now I feel like I learned something today, Scott.
Well, there you go. Hey, we got our best people on this right now. We got Spencer on here. He was the closest one. And I just said, hey, see, that screen's coming up and nothing else. So strange stuff happening here today. So there you go. Adieu to Homer Jones. And hopefully he will be remembered for that. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Yes, when in doubt, reboot. That's the way to do it. Let's get to L.A. and the first round of the United States Open at the Los Angeles Country Club. So far, players and technology winning out, Mark. A lot of people thought this was going to be a venue that par was going to be your friend. It still may end up that way. But I am not a meteorologist, per se, but the marine layer is hanging over Los Angeles. And what is that doing, you ask? Well, that's the winds are down. It is a slightly dewish day in Southern California, at least starting off early. Scores have been low. They've been throwing darts. We've seen a hole-in-one. And we may have seen the relaunch of one of the more popular players in the PGA Tour today, as Ricky Fowler is your leader. What, 7 under par right now? 8 under par right now. He is playing his last hole. He started on the back nine. He is on the ninth hole, which is a par three. Chance to shoot a 61 for Ricky Fowler today. When did we go to LA Country Club and the Bob Hope Desert Classic broke out?
It is true with Fowler and Xander Schauffele. Fowler at 8 under, Schauffele at 7 under. But actually, there are only 22 players under par. Now, there's 40 or 50 yet to tee off. But I wouldn't say it's been a super shootout, except for Fowler. He's got 10 birdies, and he just missed his birdie putt on his 18th hole. But you know, aside from Fowler and Schauffele, it's about what you would expect. Scottie Scheffler, they're at 4 under. And you know as well as I do, Scottie, he gets the putter going, and it's Katie bar the door. But I think Fowler would be a great story. And you remember almost 10 years ago, 2014, one of the great major campaigns in history, really, despite not winning one, Fowler finished 2-2-3-5 in the majors. Didn't win one, but I think it would be super cool if Ricky Fowler wins this, and it's not just a one-off today.
He's been playing better and better as of late, Fowler has. And he's had a hot putter. He got a couple of breaks today. He's had 9 one-putt greens so far. And if you can do that anywhere, I don't care if it's the L.A. Country Club or the U.S. Open or the Bob Hope Desert Classic, which is now under a different name, obviously. But, man alive, he has everything going today. The irons have been sharp. He's got a new he's with Harmon now, so he's got a new teacher. And, like I said, you're hearing the Ricky chants again in Los Angeles, like reminiscent of 2015 when he was the Players Champion and he had that great run despite not winning any of the majors.
Yeah, you just wonder if this is going to be his tournament or, like I said, it's going to be a one-off, but he's 3 feet away from shooting 62 in the first round of the U.S. Open, and I'm not sure that has been done.
I don't know. Well, we had a no. That would be the lowest. 63 is the lowest. So it's going to be history today, unless he misses this three-footer right here. He also has two bogeys thrown in there. Keep that in mind. That's how well he has putted and how well the irons have been so far for Ricky Fowler today. Probably the most consistent guy in the golf course. I don't know who picked him, Mark, yesterday. Who picked this guy? Oh, I did. Xander Schauffele, as he is at 7-under par right now without a bogey. He has seven birdies on his card. He is playing the par 5 eighth right now, so he very well could go to 8-under par or maybe even 9. Fowler's record may stand for about 15 minutes. So there you go. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class. Mark, I'm going to have you do this. I'm going to have you hang up, okay? Because we've got this taken care of, I think. Spencer's got going to give you a call here, and then we're going to bring you back up. Sound good?
Spencer.
All right. So there we go. He says, thank you, Spencer. I know you can't hear. Spencer's doing all kinds of work here in the background while I try to carry the ship talking about Ricky Fowler here for a couple of minutes or so. As Mark said, a lot of people under par. So far, a lot of people under par in the tournament so far, and approximately 20 the last time I looked, and we can just update that right now with the afternoon wave going out. 21 players are under par right now on the golf course, and you ask how many there are. So far, 105 have teed off. Now, Alex Shockey is going to hit the last tee ball. And that will be coming up, and that will be at about, 4:37-ish Iowa time, somewhere around there. So, yeah, we'll watch Alex Shockey, hopefully a little bit in prime time if it gets things going here. All right, Mark, I'm bringing you up here. Hopefully this is going to work, okay?
Hi, Scott.
There we go. Thank you, Spencer. All right, we had to do a computer reboot. And then you've got, of course, everything restarting and resetting and everything going on. And we're back. We're back to plan A now, Mark.
Appreciate it. Peeling back the curtains of KGYM.
319-366-1600. Now I can look at the text line. I can do a lot of things now. This is what happens, Andrew. I'm not blaming you, by the way, Andrew. I am not blaming you. Ralph from Riverside.
I've got Ralph and Riverside on the text line.
Yep.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can't wait to sit in front of the TV tonight and watch this golf tournament. I apologize to my wife for the amount of golf I'm going to watch this weekend.
True.
Join the club, Ralph.
Yep. Already been taking it in for the most part of the day. Going to do it tomorrow as well, but history made by Ricky Fowler, lowest ever round in a United States Open today. 8-under par, 62. Now, I'm trying to recall. I know Johnny Miller had the former record. Oh, and that's, you know, that is going to eat at Johnny Miller, by the way. That 63 in the final round of the 73 U.S. Open at Oakmont, that saw him come all the way back to win that golf tournament. I think that Oakmont back then was a par 71, I believe. I'd have to double check on that. So that would be 8-under. So that's where Fowler is. So as far as aggregate, I think they're tied. But like I said, that 62 historic mark may last for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see what Shoffley does here. And, you know, a lot of names lurking on the board. Live golfers have been, you know, pretty, they factored in tremendously in the first two majors. Right now, the best golfer off the Live Tour is Bryson DeChambeau. He completed a minus 367, but several others like Dustin Johnson, Cameron Smith, still yet to tee off. But it's, you got to, like a lot of majors, you have a different looking leaderboard. A guy named Jacob Solomon, who was in his rookie year of the Korn Ferry Tour, shot 68 and on down the list. But yeah, that hole in one today by Frenchman Matthew Pavon on number 15.
He's on the DP World Tour. He's a regular on that particular tour. What makes this so crazy, and I mean, this has been a typical first day of the U.S. Open. You got guys like Jacob Solomon, Dylan Wu, Paul Barjon, Ryan Gerard. The early leader was the first guy that went out today. Golfer from UCLA, as a matter of fact. And that was a great story. UCLA, it's not their home course. It's Omar Morales from Mexico, who plays, who's a junior to be for the UCLA golf team. He hit the first tee shot of the tournament, went out 3 under for his first 4 or 5 holes, something like that, was leading for a while. That was a great story. He ended up 1 over par 71, but still pretty darn good day of scoring going on at the LA Country Club. So far today, 319-366-1600 at 23 after the hour of 3 o'clock. And we're going to talk to Jeff Johnson coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We're going to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well here in just a little bit. And one of the stories on the scoreboard is gotten the attention of people, and that includes Matt in Fairfax. We'll get to your text coming up here in a moment, Matt, but tell you what, Mark, why don't we just go ahead and go to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, and then we can talk a little bit about what Matt texted us. And one of the stories on your scoreboard, it's brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across in Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Open at 4 o'clock. They're online at emilshideaway.com, and we thank them for helping us out here on KGYM.
3 afternoon Major League Baseball games today, Scott. Your Orioles have defeated the Blue Jays 4-2. In the top of the third, Tampa Bay leading Oakland 2-0. And in the third also, Philadelphia leading Arizona 3-0. The Iowa State women have picked up a player out of the transfer portal. Her name is Alyssa Williams, who played at national champion LSU last year. As a freshman, she played in 20 games. Originally out of Texas, she's a 6'2 forward, and you would assume she will help Bill Fenley right away. And finally, news to me, and I think it's news to most people, the youngest son of Fran McCaffrey, Jack McCaffrey, told Travis Branham of the 24/7 Sports he's not interested in going to Iowa. In fact, he's fielded phone calls in the last 24 hours from Notre Dame and Ohio State. Let me read you the quote in this 24/7 Sports article from McCaffrey. He said, quote, "I don't think I will go there. I made that up in my mind a while ago. I want to get away from home. I talked to my parents and brothers about it, and I think that's the best thing for me, Scott."
And I am not shocked by this, Mark. I can't imagine that people are. And, I mean, if you have many people out there listening in that have 2 or 3 children, you always find, usually, you have one that is kind of a homebody, would like to stick around a little bit. One would, kind of go one way or the other. And you always have maybe one that would like to just venture off on their own. And maybe that's what Jack wants to do. Matt in Fairfax with the on the text line at 319-366-1600. After all the anxiety stuff that Patrick's been through, I think it's best Jack starts fresh somewhere else. Hope he's successful wherever he goes. Jack thought of as one of the top players in his class, not only in the state of Iowa, but in the Midwest, and is going to help. Now, here you're it's not a perfect scenario. You know that if Jack goes somewhere else, say in Ohio State, in the Big Ten, comes back, beats Iowa, and people are going to beat up on Fran McCaffrey even more. That's just, I hate to see it, but that's the way life is now in 2023. You just basically can't win for losing. And I hope people don't have that attitude out there. If Jack wants to venture out on his own, I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic, and I go along with the folks. I wish him the best of luck out there.
Well, you can be sure the conspiracy theories, if they haven't already started, they will be coming down the pike. For a variety of reasons, Jack doesn't want to go to Iowa, blah, blah, blah. You never know what's in a kid's mind. I think everybody assumed dad's the coach, his brothers played there, he's going to follow suit. But as I read in that quote in the 24/7 sports article, he just wants to get away. And some kids do.
319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Yeah, Cyclone Tim about golf. Zach did not qualify this year, correct? Yes, that is correct. And in fact, Ricky Fowler, two of the last 3 years, did not qualify for the U.S. Open. That is how far Ricky fell.
That's correct. And Ralph in Riverside says he's shocked at how bad Justin Rose is doing today, considering how well he played last week at the RBC. And I think last look, he was 7 over par.
Yeah. By the way, Xander did make a birdie. He's at 8 under par, and he is going to be playing the par 3 ninth coming up. So that solo effort with a par is going to last for about 15 minutes. The record. How about that? 50 years since Johnny Miller shot a 63. Took 50 years for somebody to break that mark, and now it's going to take 10 minutes for somebody to tie it or break it again.
Perhaps, unless he makes a bogey.
Xander has been the most consistent guy on the golf course by a long way today. I think he's missed one shot, basically, today on the golf course. He has been in position the whole time where he should be. He has been pretty much outstanding today. And I'm not just saying that because he was my pick, Mark. He's just watching him all day. It has been just spot on for Xander Schauffele today.
Well, I think he's been in the top 20, like, in majors, like 5-6 straight years. He's so consistent. He just hasn't broken through. And I believe he missed the green there at 9, but good solid pick.
He's gonna have he did get on the green. He's gonna have about a 30 footer.
Okay.
To break the record for a 61. What do you think the USGA is thinking right now?
Well, they're probably not happy with Fowler and Schauffele. We'll see how this day plays out. There's still a lot of golf to be played. Again, many haven't even teed off yet. But right now, there's, 25 players under par. Yeah, a lot of them at 1 under. So I don't think the USGA is super unhappy.
They don't want to see a guy make 10 birdies. Now, there were a lot of gettable pins today, and they had the marine layer, so there were a couple things that were going in the players' favor, but I got a feeling tomorrow you're going to see a course with a lot more bite in it. Just a feeling.
Cyclone Tim on the text line in regards to Jack McCaffrey. What if he wanted to wear Cyclone colors? LOL.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
Will he go to a Big Ten team?
That could happen. That could very well happen.
Contacted by Notre Dame and new coach Micah Shrewsbury. His mom went to Notre Dame. Whether that plays any factor, who knows? He'll get more offers. He's a four-star player. You've seen him play.
Yep.
You saw the two brothers play, Scott. He's got a lot of upside, huh?
Yes, he does. A lot of upside right with his game. All right, quick break. Come back, and Jeff Johnson's going to join us, and we're going to talk baseball mainly with Jeff. And we'll do that when we return. It's a gym class for a Thursday here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And wildfire smoke will continue to lead to reduced air quality and hazy skies today. We are going to have temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. And tonight a cold front will come through, which should help out with some of the smoky conditions and send temperatures into the mid 50s tonight. Tomorrow we'll have sunny skies with temperatures in the mid 80s. We'll stay in the mid 80s with sunny skies on Saturday with a chance for a few showers and storms on Sunday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Every piece of land has a story. The Upshaw's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and get involved with it.
From front loader to backhoe, the Upshaw's have the tools to DIY all day long. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $129 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Make the most of your land with a good, clean deal from City Tractor. Visit us at citytractor.com.
I own Jones Family Dentistry.
We're talking with Garrick Jones about Midwest One Bank.
When I bought the practice and made it Jones Family Dentistry, I needed to get financing for a new building, and so I reached out to Midwest One Bank, and they've been fantastic. They've allowed me to accommodate more patients and serve my patients better. They understand what I'm doing from a perspective of growing my business and being there financially to help me. The people at Midwest One Bank have a wonderful chairside manner.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Now at Menards, save big money with 11% off everything. Cut the cord and turbocharge your next project with Bosch cordless power tools. They're designed to tackle the toughest jobs. Faster charging speeds, longer run times, and lasting durability. Right now, the Bosch half-inch 18-volt drill kit is just $69.99 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through June 18th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. It is the gym class for Thursday here on KGYM 334 as we keep you updated on what's happening at Los Angeles Country Club in the first round of the U.S. Open. The afternoon wave has been teeing off for about an hour or so, and one of the feature groups about to get going with Cameron Smith, the U.S. Open amateur or U.S. amateur champion Sam Bennett. And remember the days, Mark, when the U.S. amateur champions would wear nothing but their school colors?
Oh, for sure.
Well, that's not happening anymore. Matt Fitzpatrick in that group, the defending U.S. Open champion as well. But now you're seeing as many corporate decals, et cetera, on the amateurs, because with NIL, they're getting that money coming in.
I don't have a problem with it.
No, I mean, it's just different. It's just different the way it's going right now. We'll ask our poll question of our next guest, Mr. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com. Get him a follow on Twitter as well. And JJ, how you doing?
Well, my brothers-in-law were in town from Phoenix, and we had them over for a deck gathering last night. So,
oh boy!
Long story short, I'm tired today.
Sure. There you go.
I'm not as young as I used to be. So.
None of us are, brother.
No, exactly.
And of course, you're watching the golf, right?
I have, actually, and seeing none of the guys on my fantasy golf team anywhere near the leaderboard as usual. So.
Join the club.
Yeah. Nuker, I'm bringing you on as an advisor, I think, next season. So
Jeff John, Jeff Johnson joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And you were 24 hours ago, though, you were at, well, the game would have been over by now, but you were out at Vet Stadium for the red-hot Cedar Rapids Colonels, who are closing in on a first-half championship.
Yeah, they, you know, they're playing well. They've won, I think, I'm trying to think now, 1, 2, 3 in a row, and had a good road trip. They were on the road for 2 weeks out east to Lansing and Dayton, and won 7 out of 12 games. And, you know, they're four games up here in the Midwest League's first half in the Western Division on Peoria with 7 to go. So things are looking pretty solid right now for a playoff spot. And if that would happen, this would be 10 seasons. Cedar Rapids has been affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, and it would be 10 playoff berths in those 10 seasons. So I'm not real smart, but I think that's 100%.
That's impressive. And Jeff, the long road trip, put this thought in my mind. You've had a couple of years to digest the six game series. And I ask you, do you like it? Do players and managers like it? What do you think?
Yeah, I've gotten used to it. It's Duker, I mean, you know, right? It's so different than the way it used to be. You could be at home for 3 and then on the road for 6, then back home for 9, and then back, you know, back on the road after that. But I think it's something that all the players and coaches and you know, the major league clubs like. There's not nearly as much travel, obviously. And you're just, you're just staying at a place for a week, and every Monday you have off. It's a set schedule. I think it's better for development that way. And I am very, very sure that it'll continue to work like this, week-long series against the same team, moving forward.
I'm torn by this. I understand it's going to save money. It's going to save travel. When you go to Dayton, yeah, stay there 6 days. Play those games. The six game series against Quad Cities and the like. I don't know. I'd like to see it go back to 3-3, but I don't know if you can do that with the schedule. But hey, it is the way it is, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I think I've been doing this long enough. The players just hated the commuters, quite frankly, and it was because it's like Groundhog Day, right? You know, you leave Cedar Rapids at a certain time, you hop on the bus, you go to Davenport or in the old days Burlington and Clinton. You know, you get ready, you play a game, you hop back on the bus, you drive back to Cedar Rapids, and then the next day you do it all over again, and the next day after that as well. So I think I know the players being on the road for, you know, in a hotel 6 days instead of having to do all that bus travel. And now there's 2 buses for every team, so everybody gets to spread out and with 2 buses. And I think it just works very well, like I said, from a player development standpoint, not wearing these guys out as much as maybe like all the travel would previously.
As you know, Jeff, we're coming towards a time where there's going to be a lot of movement in minor league baseball with the MLB draft coming up and typical promotions, demotions. What can Cedar Rapids least afford to lose?
I think, Mark, just the youth of the position player group here in general will keep these guys here almost all year, if not all season. There's a lot of guys on this team that are 20, 19, 21 years old. And the biggest jump that you make, they always say, is from high A, which is what Cedar Rapids is, up to double A. So I would really expect the position player group to kind of stay, very static and be the same. And pitching wise, I mean, that's always a little bit different, situation. And You know, they had a couple of guys, a reliever and a starter, Reggie Gray, Spearson Roll, go up to Double A here a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the fact that the draft is later now, you know, early July, I think July 9th is the first round. That kind of, you know, changes things as far as, you know, the draft picks won't, you know, more than likely they're going to end, you know, stay in rookie ball or back in the minor league teams complex, you know, for the rest of the summer, just because the season, you know, there's only, what, a month or 2 months of the season left after that. And a lot of these kids have already played college ball. So from that standpoint, I don't think it'll change a whole lot. So it'll be interesting. I think that this team is going to get better, especially from a hitting standpoint. I think we've seen that here in the last month, and with all the youth and, you know, the adjustments that those younger players are making, I think that makes it pretty exciting for the potential of this group, you know, moving into the second half, honestly.
Yeah. Jeff Johnson joining us here at 3:42 on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. This group's got a little more pop than we've seen over the last few years. You know, Rosario, you got two guys with 10 home runs, Rosario and Ross. As far as this team is concerned, but have you kind of noticed that as well? And is that kind of something, I know the Twins, you know, like it or not, kind of like everybody else in baseball, getting into more of the metrics, if you will. And are we seeing that go down to the high A level now?
Oh, absolutely. And the kind of players that they, you know, that the Twins draft, I mean, they're big in the power. I mean, that's pretty easy to see. So that's what they want, I think, you know, pretty much above all else. And like you said, I mean, we've got two guys that are tied for the league lead with 10 home runs, Kalai Rosario, the outfielder who's been really, really good the last 2 months, hit like 330 in May, and he's hitting over 300 this month as well, you know, with the power. And then, you know, little Ben Ross, just a little skinny kid from Division II Notre Dame College in Ohio. If any, I bet a lot of the listeners out there didn't even know there was such a thing as Notre Dame College. But he's popped 10 home runs too, which is really surprising. When I looked at it yesterday, he hit a 3-run homer that was big in Cedar Rapids' victory. But yeah, in general, that's what, you know, the Twins look for. They want guys who can drive the ball, and you know, that's what they draft for. That's the guys they sign, pretty much. And it kind of just, you know, wiggles its way up to the major league level. And I'm sure Mark and I can have a couple of cold ones and talk about whether or not we totally agree with that philosophy. But that's, you know, that's for another day, I think. So,
you know, Jeff, you know this as well as the rest of us, that covering sports yields so many great stories. And that's what I loved about it in my career, and I'm sure that's true with you. But you look at a guy like Keaton Wynn, who was promoted to the major leagues, got a save in his first appearance for the Giants. I mean, we're well aware of Keller and Puck and Ray. But Keaton Wynn, have you ever been to Ollie, Iowa?
I have not. I have been to Pekin High School one time, though. So he is what a great story, right? You know, totally unheralded, never an All-State guy. Didn't do all these, you know, showcases and things like that. And, you know, he just physically matured and worked his butt off and went out to Iowa Western and, you know, made himself a pitcher that the Giants wanted to draft. And, you know, now here he is. You know, what, 5-6 years ago, or 7 years ago, whatever, he was pitching against Highland High School, and, you know, the other night he's in the big leagues getting a save. So that's the best part about it, Mark. Just like you said, every, you know, our kids like that. Great stories, unheralded. Just literally worked their way up to the big leagues, and hopefully he can stay up there for a while.
Saw a tweet today, I believe it was, he had a 4.7 ERA. As a senior at Pekin.
There you go.
4.7. And now he's got a save in the major leagues.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and Iowa Western obviously saw something in him, you know, to get him to go out there to go to school, right? And then, you know, he just continued to develop. And, You know, he's one of those guys that I think worked out a lot at Dugout Sports Center in Fairfax. Jay Wannell giving you a cheap plug here. That's where all the, in the off season, that's where, you know, Mitch Keller and sometimes I think AJ Puck and, you know, CJ Eldred, Cal's out there a lot, you know, and they do their off season work together. I think Keaton was a lot of times part of that group too. So, you know, pretty special, pretty special. We've got four guys now, from this side of the state and in the major leagues, you know, look at Puck, Keller and, obviously, Keaton Wynn and then Colin Ray, who pitched pretty well yesterday for the Brewers against the Twins. So the Cascade, old Cascade Cougar and UNI Panther. So that's pretty good. I think we're doing something pretty good over here on this side of state baseball-wise, right?
Not bad. Not bad. Who's, in your opinion anyway, through the first half, as far as the Colonel's arms are concerned, who's impressed you the most? Has it been, you know, guys like Carr? Just who has it been?
Well, that's tough. From a result standpoint, I really liked, you know, Reggie Grace out of the bullpen. I mean, they just, their starters have been pretty steady. You're looking at, like you mentioned, Jordan Carstad put up real nice numbers. From a prospect standpoint, I think this kid named Marco Raya, is someone to look out for. He's really young. He's 20, high school draft pick out of Texas, who they've kind of, you know, really minimized his innings so far because he had a little bit of an injury in spring training. But he's a kid that throws 95, 96, 97 miles per hour. And I think you'll see, you know, him kind of be lengthened out as far as, you know, being allowed to pitch more than three innings, which is what his, what it's been capped at right now. Boy, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. It's just, it's kind of been a solid rotation that doesn't necessarily, you know, knock your socks off. And the bullpen's kind of the same way. They just get the job done. And I tell you what, boys, this kid Corey Lewis that pitched yesterday, he just came up from low A Fort Myers, throws five pitches, fastballs 91, 92. Slider, curveball, changeup, and a knuckleball.
God bless him.
Yeah. And it's weird because, I mean, it's not a main pitch. You know, you always think of your knuckleball guys that threw nothing but knuckleballs, right? And that was it. It's just part of his mix, his five-pitch mix. He threw it, I think he said yesterday, maybe 15 to 20% of the time. I don't know how he does it and throw all those other pitches with spin. But he's a really interesting guy and someone I think you need to get onto the ballpark to watch because nobody throws a knuckleball anymore.
No, and you took a photo of how he holds the ball when he throws that knuckle pitch, and he throws it a little faster than your Charlie Huff's, you know, Wilbur Woods back in the day.
Yeah. 80, you know, low 80s, 81, 82, 83 maybe, and you know, that's really the unique part of it. And he told me yesterday, he said he actually had met Charlie Huff because Charlie Huff did some work with his agency, you know, the people that he has employed as his agent. So he's talked to Charlie a little bit and asked him, I said, well, did he give you any good advice? And he said, no, not really, because he threw his knuckleball so much softer than I ever did. So you know, it's just something that he's just kind of picked up on his own. I think he said he was 10 years old when he just started messing around with it. And high school, his coach allowed him to throw it. His college coach at Santa Barbara allowed him to throw it. Now the Twins are encouraging him to continue to throw it, if not employed a little bit more. So it's really unique. And, you know, you wonder if that might actually get him up to the big leagues at some point. He can throw five pitches and throw a knuckleball as one of them.
Well, have you answer our poll question in a minute here, but I've got a poll question just for you, Jeff.
Sure.
As a fellow Twins fan, who would you send packing first, Kepler or Pagan?
Emilio. Emilio. Bye-bye, Emilio. Thank you.
Well, neither one of them have any market value.
I know, exactly right. It's so frustrating. you know, Pagan throws in all these no leverage situations and looks pretty darn good. And then, you know, they put him back into a high leverage situation and he completely blows up. So very frustrating. Not a real good trade, I don't think, for the Twins there. And then, like you said, Kepler, especially, I think he's making some money too, with a little longer term contract. But he's been disappointing to me, just because I thought, especially with the end of the shift, he seemed to hit so many balls into that shift mark and last year and the year before. I thought he'd really come back on this season, but so far hasn't worked out that way. And you got to wonder how the Twins are going to treat him, you know, when they have some other guys that maybe they can go to out there that are younger. So, but hey, we're in first place, right? Ahead of the White Sox.
Somebody's got to win. Hey, you can package Lance Lynn in that deal too. Whatever I need to do.
We already had him once, Scott.
That's right. Very briefly. That's right. And, you know, you gave him the big money contract. What is he? He's like 50, 60 years old by now.
That's why he's still there, I think.
Okay. Well, you had to know that. That might, you know, he might regress a little bit.
All right. Poll question for you. By the way, it's brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement down in Iowa City. Which manager is going to lose their job first? The two in Chicago, Pedro Grifol, David Ross, or Oliver Marmol?
Marmol.
I think so.
Rossi's too much loved in Chicago with the Cubs. And, you know, I don't know how you can get rid of a guy that you literally just hired on the south side. And, you know, it just seems like we're watching an implosion going on in St. Louis right now.
Man, not good. Hey, couple of high school questions for you before you go. By the way, first of all, 5716 letting us know the epidemic has risen its ugly head again tonight. Wash Jeff baseball canceled because no umpires are available tonight.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and says, what a shame. But that's kind of the way it goes. I know what Cascade and Beckman play tonight, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the old tire iron brawl, so to speak, right? Always a fun time and always a huge crowd, no matter if it's in Dyersville or if it's in Cascade. So always wanted to get up there for one of those. KJ Pilcher's seen a number of those, and he just – that's why he keeps going back, just because of the atmosphere and how much fun and how much intensity there is between those two neighboring schools.
How about some of the I know you've seen a few games anyway. Any team that's really impressed you?
Yeah, Prairie's obviously really good. Pretty deep with the pitching. I love the way they play. They're very aggressive on the base paths, which is a great way to, in my opinion, to go about it, push the envelope, make the defense, you know, make the play against you. Maddox Freeves at shortstop is one of the best players around here. Kennedy's obviously got a real nice club as well. I'm trying to think who else I've seen here and there. You know, small schools. I mean, it seems to be the same small schools that are always good. Your North Lynn's, your Beckmans, your Cascades, schools like that. So I just I think they had one less week, right, Scott? One less week of the season, and I can't wrap my head around, having to squeeze all these games into such a short amount of time. I don't like it. I think the baseball players around this state just really get shortchanged. I'd like to see it change somehow, the calendar, whatever they can do. Which is my opinion. So
there you go.
When are you taking vacation?
That's a great question. I don't know. Whenever my wife tells me, I think so.
Smart man.
Probably got about 3 months build up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm capped out. So I got to start blowing some here. Otherwise I won't get any more. So maybe we'll go out to Minnesota and watch a couple of Twins games.
There you go.
Have a Schmidt.
I don't get enough baseball, so yeah, there we go.
All right, keep up the great work, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, boys. You have a good night and a good weekend.
You too. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here on the Gym Class. Quick break, come back to wrap things up, and we'll do it right after this.
KGYM is an equal opportunity employer. And under FCC rules, any community organization that distributes information about employment opportunities or refers people to employers may ask to be notified about job vacancies at KGYM. If your organization would like notification of KGYM's job vacancies, contact Julie Hine. Email julie at kzia.com or write her at 1110 26th Avenue Southwest, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52404.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Can I help? Who's next?
Tom's part-time barista is now a full-time actor.
Oh, you didn't hear. He got the part on Broadway. Yeah, great for him, bad for our finicky cold brew tap.
Now he needs a star understudy to fill his open role.
And he made the best grande triple shot with oat milk caramel.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Feature groups of the afternoon are going off right now. Rory McIlroy has just teed off his first hole, the par 5, in the first round of the U.S. Open. As we close up shop here on the Gym Class, Todd Brommelkamp Show coming up next from 4 until 6 here this evening. By the way, a week away from the NBA draft. Next Thursday night, we'll have it. We'll hear when Chris Murray's name gets called. But history today in Los Angeles, Mark, not one but two 8-under par 62s, the lowest scores in major golf history, shot today by Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele.
Yeah, very impressive. The story is whether they can continue it for three more rounds. It's a long haul, tough golf course. That's why we'll tune in, right?
That's why. That's why indeed. And Mark, coming up tomorrow, our Friday topic, we're going to talk about prized pieces of memorabilia that you may have. We're going to take a page out of Spencer on Sports and talk a little bit collector's corner as far as our topic is concerned, pieces of memorabilia that you have.
Yeah, maybe not the most expensive, but the most prized.
That mean a lot to you. Yeah, so we'll do that coming up on tomorrow's show. Have a great night, Mark. Enjoy the golf. We'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
Todd's next here on KGYM.
We're recording this progressive commercial on a real boat to let people know that when you fund...